This has been a long, arduous journey. It is a mixed bag of happy moments and also sad moments, given the fact that this was a brutal war that has claimed lives, that has maimed people, that has caused huge devastation in the country in terms of dislocating the lives and prospects of progress.
I've known you for some time. You know, after the CPA, you held a very high position in Sudan, you know, and you were based in Khartoum. After the country became independent, you also held a very high position in the military, the South Sudan military. You were the deputy minister of defense. The country is going through a lot, and you sacrifice your early age to ensure that this country becomes independent. If you reflect back, would you say it was worth a struggle for?
It is worth struggling for. It is an effort well expended by our generation. We do not have any decision regrets at all. We have fought for a just cause. We have achieved independence of our country, a dream of so many generations before us. And so this alone is a source of inspiration for the future generations. There are hurdles for our collective progress, for our collective prosperity. We have so many difficulties, as you know, but this country is not going to go away. We will turn it over to the next generation. Of course, that's not going to be a simple task to make it work for the prosperity, but it is a big achievement of people of South Sudan.
There is a common saying among the people of South Sudan. Some of them are saying the SPLA of 1983, if they are put together in the same room with the SPLA of today, there will be fire in that room, because some people think the SPLA moved away from the creed that late Dr. John Garang has been working hard to instill in the minds of those who took up arms to, if you like, liberate the people of South Sudan. What is your comments?
They are entirely right in that kind of assessment. We have degenerated a great deal. There has been a big dent in our value system. Some of the core values that led us to the bush right here in Juba and in Merkel and in Wau and in Khartoum those days, you know, the kind of southern nationalism that galvanized us to take to the bush and take upon ourselves that kind of a weightier task to be able to confront a ruthless enemy like the Khartoum regime, and to be able to snatch our country from the jaws of such an enemy, it was not simple. Unless you were imbued with values that would impel you to sacrifice. Today, those values have, majority of it have withered away. And this is the biggest loss, of course, that this generation has caused to the nation. Otherwise, I still believe that this country has a huge dormant potential. It is possible to awaken its energies and relaunch it into the future as a unified country, as a country that has a purpose.
The last question I would like to put across here is about the real situation on the ground. 6 years have passed the agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan. The signatories have been struggling to implement it for 6 years. Even recently, they, you know, reached out to hold out groups, and they've been in Nairobi for, if I'm not mistaken, 3 months negotiating with the government delegation on how they can find a, you know, durable solution for peace in South Sudan. I mean, you have been in the forefront, you have seen it all, whether in the battlegrounds or in the political arena, you have seen it all, or even as a private citizen, you are now, you've seen it all. What is your assessment on the efforts to silence the guns and move beyond this bickering between political parties or signatories or, if you like, rebel groups?
My position always is that these settlements of this nature are ceasefire agreements, and they are not the goal in themselves. They are not the end state. The end state should be transitioning the country to a democratic process. That has not been achieved in the 2015 agreement because there was a deception in 2016 when the shootout occurred in the palace here in Chuba in 2016. And then getting it back on track took like 2 years. And in Addis Ababa, there was really nothing much that was being added. Our position was that we have to get it back on track and move and transition the country out of conflict to a democratic elections. Then something occurred which was quite unusual. The whole process was shifted to Khartoum, and the first thing that was prioritized by Khartoum was oil and their role in it, including bringing troops to South Sudan to be part of security of oil. So from that point on, a lot of things that were not part of 2015 agreement were introduced. And to me, this had become part of the major hurdle. Say, for example, the idea of necessary unified forces, 80,000. If 80,000 is the necessary, which is the minimum, necessary unified forces, then what is your ceiling? Will your ceiling be 500,000, a million, or a whole country being militarized? So these are some of the difficult things that really making this agreement to a certain degree unimplementable. Having said that, I think the goal should still be to transition the country out of the present trap of perpetual extensions and no elections to something new. And to me, if the ongoing process in Nairobi is going to succeed, it has to be simple. It has actually to focus on core tasks that can be accomplished within the next 1 year or two, and you have the general elections.